No, it was lovely and it was nice to be out.
Excuse me, get rid of the bass player.
Yeah.
I was providing a solid 12 bar blues structure to that.
You were. And then what happened was we went off on an interesting jazz tangent and you didn't come with us.
I never get to be the only one to say chattitude either. Tyga always has to say it after me.
I suppose we'll let the listeners decide who was at fault for that.
Poor
absolutely
you,
hot
poor
mess.
Me. I never. Where's my buzzer noise?
Of a jingle.
Shmee.
Guys, you're listening to Laurel Manny, Ty Hickey, and Dominic McHale of Cork comedy troupe CC Cahoots.
Well, oh. I'm actually in a band called Eggs Pursued by a Bear, and I'd like to state that case.
Oh, so are you giving your band kind of a shameless plug?
Trying
at the
to give everything a plug, man.
Okay. I'm a stand-up in my own right.
And I'm just a nice guy. Guys, we're going to talk about
PC World.
It's a hot topic. It's PC World, and I'm not talking about the outlet where you can buy
PCs,
computer accessories.
Though I have a few bloody things I could say about them.
Well, maybe we can...
Oh, we'd have to follow up with that. Or should we see? Should we segue? Should we get into it?
We're talking about political correctness.
Yes.
It's kind of a hot button topic. And
that was
something
me doing a hot button.
Oh, the button's not hot, though.
Tyg, what's your take on PC?
Well, I'm a big PC guy.
Particularly, I'll give you the context. PC in the context of being a comedian.
Oh.
All right, okay.
Do you feel that?
Ooh, are we narrowing it to that?
Well, this is my specific opening question for Tyke is, can you be a successful comedian by being politically correct?
No.
Isn't comedy all about pushing the bucket? Is that the expression?
It's pushing the bucket.
That's definitely not the expression. But you know what? It should be. I'm going to push my bucket up to a really strange point here by saying that, no, I think it definitely delimits where you can go, all right. And I think, I feel anyway that all these things are quite cyclical. I don't know, would you agree, Laura? But I feel there's a thirst for kind of edgy comedy now. Mm-hmm. There probably wasn't there maybe 2 years ago or a year ago, whatever, where we were kind of safely in the middle of that kind of hyper political correctness. Now, I'd like to differentiate for our listeners as well, just straight off the bat. Sometimes there can be a kind of a lazy description of political correctness, that it is in some way a kind of just a liberal thing or whatever, like actual liberal left-wing causes. I think most of us here, and by most I mean all of us, would be very partial to.
Yeah.
We're probably talking about pernickety political correctness that doesn't really seem to be kind of driving anything forward.
If anything, it's holding a lot of stuff back.
Yeah, so I'd say I think it's good just to define that at the start, because you don't want people to think, oh, are they against then gay rights? Are they against then, you know what I mean? I just had this conversation with an intelligent person the other night. He was saying, oh, I thought you were pure lefty. I was just like, I am. What I'm against is bollocks. Do you know what I mean? Like looking at a tweet that somebody wrote 6 years ago and trying to slam them on it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not
nonsense.
Driving anything forward. Like,
I think there's a degree of, some people are getting a lot of pleasure out of the control that they can get using this PC weapon. It's like last month's acceptable term, we're now going to make that, you're not allowed to say that anymore.
And I often think some of the loudest speakers about things like that are the ones that actually have nothing to say. So in order to have something to say, they've decided to take issue with something. And so the taking issue then has become their kind of platform for talking. And I think they should just shush.
I think as well, yeah, I see what you're saying. I think as well, just to go back to the analogy of the lad, you know, scrolling. If you're scrolling through someone's tweets for the last 6 years, I don't think you've anyone's good
intentions. Yeah,
intent. You know what I mean. Seriously,
all jokes aside. But genuinely, I watch an incredible amount of reality TV, and often you'd find when Big Brother used to be on within the first week.
Laura's going on holiday. She's watching incredible amounts.
Get the time. Iceland's Got Talent
and the cash.
Go on,
in the middle, you don't need any cash to watch reality TV. In the middle of, we'll say, the first week of Big Brother, always there'd be nearly someone removed from the house. And why are they removed from the house? For comments that they made 15 years ago on Twitter.
That's kind of stuff now.
And that now, I don't think Twitter existed 15 years ago, but you know what I mean? Comments that were made when they were 10 or 15 years younger than they were now, when social media was new and people didn't know what they were saying. They said possibly very inappropriate things online in a public platform, but should they be removed from a show like 10 years on? I don't really think they should. I wouldn't like if my thoughts had been captured 10 years ago. I could have said stupid things by accident.
Like Dom, like that, and Laura, you might have heard it. You know, Declan Rice, who was supposed to declare for...
Oh, why wouldn't I have heard it? Oh, PC gone mad. Just because he's a footballer, is it? Declan Rice pudding.
Because you're a girl and you wouldn't know him.
Just
who the hell is he? What's he on reality TV?
Tyke had a wonderful kind of cross-eyed look in his eyes when he said that to Laura.
Not allowed to say cross-eyed anymore.
Sorry.
Go on,
so you have to say, you know, mixed.
Tell me about Declan Rice.
Arranged.
No, but yeah, so Declan Rice was pulled up for doing a tweet years ago where he said up the ra when he was like 17 or something. And I was just thinking, like, the young fella, like, he's probably mixed up as it is. He's dual nationality. At that stage, he was just in the Ireland squad, hanging out with a few lads. Nobody knows what they're talking about when they're 17. Nobody knows the real, you know, well, Dom might have. I mean, I think a lot of 17-year-olds in Ireland are, like, of Irish descent are probably saying up the ra without the full venom of knowledge of IRA mainland UK activity in the 80s and 90s. You know what I mean? Like, to pull him up on that, I was like, you're pulling him up now for the sake of it. You're making a story out of it, like. And I'll shut up with this because I feel I'm talking a lot, but I would like to say on this topic, Stephen Fry, who's obviously an awful lot more erudite than I'll ever be on this, has a great one on it where he says political correctness for him, for those kind of things, you know, looking to slam dunk somebody with an old tweet, whatever, the reason he's so against it is that it's ineffective. So he thinks, like, we're all kind of trying to reach the utopia where all the things we want for everyone were general human rights for everyone. We all want that, really, like, unless you're, like, you know, extreme far right, whatever. We all want that. The thing is, the political correct lads, they're not going to win the day with what they're at. Like, that's going to be ineffective in getting us there. And I think that's the best thing.
I'm going
thing
to say something controversial.
Oh my God.
All right, here I go. I often, as I said, I often think the people that are the most vocal can actually do some of the most damage, right? We all know climate change is an absolute massive issue, right? We know this. And there are people protesting, like you and me, normal protesters, grand. But some of the most vocal are the ones that are going to be the most off-putting for the normal people, like, we'll say, my mum and dad, that should be the people we're trying to reach about helping with climate change. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this is the same problem with political correctness, is that some of the most vocal ones are the most off-putting kind of spokespeople to put out there. So then messages are getting lost, because of course we all want general human rights. Of course we're all in favour of gay rights and all of those kind of things. But the ones that are kind of doing that witch hunt of people about tweets they said and stuff ages ago, the message is going to be lost. So it's just going to be muddled in this weird political correctness thing. And we're not going to see what the common goal is, which is for everyone to have a lovely time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. Absolutely makes sense, yeah.
I was going to ask, right, like, what offends you, Laura?
Oh, very little.
Yeah.
Very little. Like, my thing always is, I don't mind somebody having an opposing stance to me once they're not trying to change my stance. So, like, I don't care if somebody wants to, like, you know, explain to me why they don't like such and such of a thing or whatever. Just once they're not, I would only be offended if they were trying to alter my long-held belief or in some way belittle what I believed. Do you know what I mean? There's not an awful lot that would actually make me go, God, this is very offensive. There's very few things that would full on offend me. What would offend you?
Well, very little as well. And I mean, kind of paradoxically, the only things that I would probably get offended by is if somebody has said something that's true and I don't like it. In which case, like, I have no right to be offended by that because it's just somebody saying what they believe to be the truth. Whereas if it's not the truth, why would it offend me?
Okay.
Do you think people have the right not to be offended?
I don't understand.
Like,
that.
can you tell somebody else to shut up because you find what they're saying offensive? Is that acceptable?
Wow, that's interesting. I never actually kind of looked at it quite like that.
Would want to be extremely, like,
so give me a context. Give me a kind of a scenario. Well, even a thought experiment.
You hear somebody saying certain things that you don't necessarily agree with, and you think, I feel offended by what this person is saying. Something they've said has offended me.
Okay.
Do you have the right to go over and tell that person to shut up?
I think you do if it's something that you'd find racist or Yeah.
But like what I'm saying is, I don't think we have the right to tell racists to shut up. Like, okay. I think that...
No, but it is good fun to tell them to
True. I think that, ideally, now it might not be a practical solution. And I'm kind of just thinking out loud.
Yeah, I know, like,
I think people should be able to say whatever they want.
Yeah.
And it's up to a discerning public to go, that person's talking absolute bollocks.
So there's no need to go after that person because it's bollocks.
Exactly.
Either of you like Jonathan Pye, you know, that character, Jonathan Pye. I can't remember the name. 3.14? No. But he's got this kind of ballsy, it's a ballsy character. I'd say you're bound to have seen it online. He's like doing news reports and then he breaks off in the actual report. They're kind of off and then he's like gives his kind of like liberal kind of, or not liberal, it's just various rants. But he was actually discussing that with, oh my God, sorry guys, I'm gone blank.
Is he the guy who's prone to like these volcanic rants?
Yeah, but they're kind of created. They're artificial or whatever. But his thing is like similar to what you said there. We basically need to let the racists talk, like, because there's really no chance of anything moving forward unless all sides of the argument have been heard.
Surely a racist is more dangerous if we've told them to shut up and they're silent, because then nobody knows they're a racist.
Yeah.
And their damaging actions are going to have more repercussions than if they open their mouth and everybody realise this person doesn't know what they're talking about.
Yes, but I think Owen Jones is his name, was saying when he was talking with Jonathan Pye, not real name, that what happened, so because Owen is gay, and he was saying, so you're saying everyone should have their say, cool, what if someone's having their say and they say, let's kill a load of gays tonight at such and such. Like, are you okay with that guy having free speech? Because then that puts my personal safety under... You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Well, I think...
You need to follow that through, I think, which is a fair point, you know?
I agree. Now, I suppose there is this concept of, like, if I'm inciting hatred...
This is the thing.
Am I allowed to talk? If I'm inspiring other people to commit...
We really need to hear the voices, guys, of the extreme far right at the moment to make that point. Do we need to you know, if there's a, yeah.
Guys, can I jump in?
Please.
Can I make it a bit more domestic for a second?
Oh, go for it.
I find that I'm faced with political correctness on a daily basis, right? Because I read my children fairy tales at night. And particularly kind of Disney ones, we'll say the Disney version of them. And in a lot of Disney films, the princess is saved by her prince, right? There's also issues of she's in a kind of a sleep situation, a sleep-induced coma, in Sleeping Beauty, and a man comes along and kisses her. There's issues around consent there. You know, there's lots of things like that. And what I find I'm faced with is a surprising thing, that when I read these stories, I find myself kind of sanitizing them or putting a spin on it, that I'm like, and then Beauty and the Beast kissed and the Beast turned into a beautiful prince and they went on a load of dates and spent a lot of time together and then they lived with each other for a while and then they got married, right? I'm kind of trying to fix it to make it palatable.
And he didn't kiss her while she was asleep?
No, not at all. And there was, you know, but my issue with that is these stories didn't impact me in that way when I was small. I didn't sit there thinking, oh my God, why is he just kissing her? I didn't, neither did I hang around waiting for my handsome prince. And I just feel a little bit kind of influenced by the world we live in today about those kind of things. I'd love to just read that story. Like, we've watched the Disney films now, we've watched Beauty and the Beast, and Polly just loves it. She just loves it. That doesn't mean she's going to be waiting around for her handsome prince. That doesn't mean that, like, you know, she's going to take it seriously when Gaston says that girls shouldn't be reading books. If anything, it's making her more feisty. And I think we have to be careful to not let political correctness bleed into, like, I'm not a politically correct person. So why on earth is political correctness suddenly being in my house every day? What is it doing there? I've invited it in and I think I need to kick it out, to be honest.
Well...
No, that's beautiful.
Ironically,
honest.
Kick it out is kind of the initiative in soccer to combat racism. But Laura wants to kick out PC.
She wants it back in.
It reminds me of my father wrote, I'm not plugging one of my father's books here, but he wrote a Jesus joke book.
He did, and I used to sell it in Liam Russell's bookshop.
Well, there you go. But he got a lot of flack for that. People were calling into Joe Duffy and people were going crazy. And his argument was, and I think there's a lot of merit to it, if you genuinely believe everything that the Bible says, or if you are a devout Christian, shouldn't matter what anybody says about it. Like, and ultimately, surely if you are confident in your belief, you should be able to joke about it.
Of course. Yeah. And if it's like a realistic belief, if it's a belief that is embedded in the real world of today, 2019, I don't think it should be so sacred that you're not able to go, isn't that a bit gas when that happens? Mm. Or make some sort
totally.
Of, like something that's important to me, I should always be able to joke about it.
I think the Jesus Christ Superstar lads had the same issues when people used to be like outside with pickets and that, whatever, mm. and they were making the same point. And like, I don't think I had a stronger religious experience than doing Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah.
Like the only bit they cut out is like what happens afterwards, which is for all of us to, that's a matter of faith.
Yeah.
They actually made Jesus so cool in the 70s. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Like
totally.
The religious right missed a trick. They should have got behind it. Like
a show like South Park, for example.
Yeah.
Now, whatever you think about it comedically, it's often branded as being one of the most politically incorrect shows there are.
Mm.
But bizarrely, they have a pop at everyone.
Yes.
It's like there's this weird equality where they're like, we're not going to single
everyone's
out anyone.
Fair game.
Everybody is fair game. And I think that's a way healthier attitude to have,
yeah.
where it's like, okay, you're allowed to make jokes about these people. You're allowed to make jokes about the Irish and whatever it is,
yeah.
but you can't make jokes about the Germans or the French or the Spanish or
yeah.
whatever it is. That's bizarre in my books. Either it's all fair game or we can't joke at all.
I think as well, like in my stand-up, I have a big bit about celebrities dying, right? And I reference all sorts of like tragic deaths, not known, like I would never do like the super tragic ones, but like awful deaths that happened, people dying young.
Mediocre tragic ones.
But like. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying, isn't it great that that person died? Like, I think people, like if you were to take a headline from my show, you'd be like, Laura O'Mahony, Slate's Lady Diana, right? But if you actually were at it, you'd realise that the whole talk about Lady Diana is about how much I loved her and how sad I was when she died. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think people make a big deal out of things as well. You know, like obviously there's controversial comedians, Frankie Boyle or whatever, courts controversy. But like anyone can be controversial taken out of context.
He's the biggest voice of reason these days, to be honest, though, the
yeah.
way he's kind of got. Like, I don't want this to become echo chambers, though, with us all agreeing with each other. So I'll throw something into the mix. I mean, do you not think, though?
Oh, I agree with that.
I do.
I think that's a great idea.
That is I love that.
Throwing stuff into the mix. Do you not think, though, that, I mean, there is definitely some form of a white male privilege that I definitely think, and where I experienced the opposite of it, I suppose. Like, I remember being in Scotland when I was 20 and I experienced, like, a bit of sectarianism. And it was the first time in my life I was like, wow, I'm an outsider here. Like, I'm a kind of a minority here and I'm getting shit for it, like. I'd never experienced that before. I mean, like, as a white man, really, you are a white male straight man. You are wandering through life unopposed a lot of the times. And I do, and a guy, again, a lot cleverer than I am.
Aristotle.
Aristotle.
Socrates. And all my buddy's dad, like, would have worked in London in the 60s and 70s, whatever. And he was like, do you know what? I'd actually nearly understand racism from some of the black guys that he was working with there, because they were actually treated with such horrible disrespect. I don't understand racism from a lad sitting in a gaff in Cork going, everyone's taking my jobs, kind of thing, like, because that's kind of inherited or that's
yeah,
an
yeah,
ignorance infused
yeah,
racism
yeah.
as opposed like a direct experience.
So do you think that it's an actual privilege then to be a straight white male, generally speaking?
I think it's easier for us to jump to the conclusion that there should be no offence taken anywhere under any circumstances. We're all just having a laugh.
But
that's all I'm saying.
Could you not make the argument that in a country where most men are white and straight, it's obviously going to be an easier trip?
Yes. But I'm saying we're all at risk there of getting into an echo chamber going, political correctness needs to go if we all just mock each other a little bit, which is very tempting.
No,
when you're...
No, I understand.
Do you know what I mean?
But can I just say, obviously there's been a lot about women and me too and all of this, right? And while I accept absolutely all the stories, of course, my experience as a female comic, right? I'd never put female before myself. I'd just say I'm a comic.
Yeah.
But my experience has been that if I go, like, my experience has been that sometimes as a woman, you have to call the shots. And if you're not being allowed to call the shots, then you call the shots harder, because there's nobody that can stop me from having my say or doing my comedy. There's nobody that can kind of belittle me unless I allow myself to be belittled. Now, I don't, that's not victim blaming now. That's me going in and saying, like,
no, that's victim empowering.
It hasn't been my, like, there's a lot of universal experiences of women being put out there. And I don't feel like, luckily, I don't feel part of that. I don't feel like I have been you know, put on, forced to be on the outskirts. I don't feel like anyone has tried to kind of do anything sexually to me. I don't know why.
John Murphy, but you know,
like,
I think it's actually great that you're saying that. It needs to be said, that's your experience.
It's very hard. It's actually hard to stand and say, these haven't been my experiences. You know, I buy magazines where on the front of the magazines, there's saying like, whoever has gained 4 stone, right? But like, I don't think I'm perpetuating that false image of women by buying the magazine. I just like to hear what's going on with people. And as a mother, then I pass on healthy body image and confidence and empowerment to my little girl. I just feel like, when I became a mother first, like, people are like, oh, it's going to be very hard to do your job or whatever. I'm like, the kids are coming with me. Like, I've done radio shows where the kids are there. Like, it's not always easy, but I'm like, you have to fight your corner.
Yeah.
And I think men are fighting their corner all the time as well. I know women would say, like, you have to fight your corner more, but it just hasn't been my experience. And maybe, again, maybe I'm blind to it, or maybe I just didn't put myself... maybe I've come to situations a bit later in life. Maybe I wasn't in a vulnerable position, kind of. I don't know. But
you're just sharing your experience.
I'm just saying that my experience, I haven't felt out of my depth, or I haven't felt, I totally, totally accept horrendous stories and everything that happens. And it's totally fine with anyone felt, and women should be able to dress any way they want and all of those things. While I totally stand with all of that, I also stand with the fact that my experience has largely been positive as a white female comedian in Ireland.
Yes. And there has been people in the Me Too scene, just like all the movements online, where there are, like, the overwhelming majority of them are worthy cases that everyone is delighted has come out. And then there are other people scrolling through tweets for 6 or 7 years trying to find some sort of flimsy avenue to take someone down. And I think both should be acknowledged.
I've seen people post on Facebook about, like, you know, I had to put makeup on again today, like the plight of the female. I'm like, I didn't ever put any makeup on for, like, anyone other than myself.
Like, who's asking you to put on makeup?
Nobody.
Oh, the glossy magazines are making me feel like shit.
Genuinely, I do not think that any of those things are having an impact on me. If I want to put on makeup, it's because, number one, I had the time to do it, and number two, I'd like to. It actually drives me crack. Shane sometimes goes to me, oh, you don't need makeup. And I'm like, go on away with your lies. I do. I'm haggard
Get
today.
Get your head back in the
stew. Do you know what I mean? I have to cover this weird Icelandic tan I've gotten. But do you know what I mean? I'm just like... I you know, when the whole Abby thing broke about, like, you know, stuff about there's not enough female writing being represented. Am I wrong to say, like, write the good stuff and we'll put it on? But if you're not, if the stuff isn't of enough of a standard, we won't.
Well, Laura,
is that terrible?
This brings me to something that I was going to talk about, and that's, like, an enforced quota.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, we're trying to redress an imbalance that may have existed for a long time, but I'm not sure if having a quota is the right way to do it. Because, for example, if then you get your play published or your play goes on to be in the Abbey and there's a quota, it's not because it's good, it's because you're a woman.
Yeah.
And surely that's more offensive. Like,
yeah,
you know, we have to find a system like they do with orchestra auditions. It's a blind audition. They put the person behind a screen and they listen to them play.
Do they? Mm.
And it's like, you get the job because you're a good player, not because you're a woman or a man or whatever it is, or a minority.
But to play devil's advocate now, just to avoid the echo chamber, how are they going to redress without offering more female-specific opportunities? Say, in the example of encouraging more female playwrights.
Are we talking about playwrights here?
Yeah, well, just, or, well, writers, whatever.
But it shouldn't, like, that's even being posed in a kind of a, how is the man going to propose, you know, new ways to allow the woman in? I think the women have to fight a bit and be like, hey, buddy.
But you see, Laura,
look at my brilliant play.
The problem is that some people think that they shouldn't have to fight.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, like, life, as far as I'm concerned, is a bit of a fight. Like, life is a competition.
Mm.
So you kind of have to... I don't think you can be given things as such. You have to fight for them. Now, it has to be a fair fight, though.
Yeah.
Like, the playing field needs to be level.
Yeah.
There has to be equality of opportunity.
In the case of the Abbey, I mean, I haven't followed theatre closely in years, really. So I don't know what I'm talking about. Like we were talking about earlier today, I try not to talk about stuff that I don't know what I'm talking
about. Yes, yeah.
But do you know, Laura, were female plays coming across their desk and they were going, oh, a woman? No chance.
I don't, to be honest, I actually don't know either. I just know that there was, like, you know, the wake in the feminist movement, which is obviously very important and everything. Though I do think it does damage to things by calling them a movement or even giving them a title. It's just like, oh, it might all be very unpopular things to say, but I just think, like,
no, you're being honest.
You have to, like, I don't know. I don't know where plays being purposely rejected because they were written by women. I doubt it.
Because my thing, and I talked to my sister a little about this because she's getting into writing at the moment or whatever. I hope the right women are coming through. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah.
Because the other danger we quote as well is just like, oh my God, it's 10 o'clock, we need a woman, right? Okay, is there anyone out the road? Like, rather than actually, like, going out and meeting people and finding the right women, you know, to...
I notice when I do stand-up, that, like, you'd hear... Sometimes I'm referred to as the girl. Here's the girl. Now, this local girl I was called recently.
Oh.
Local girl Laura O'Mahony going to do a few funny minutes, right?
Sounds like a newspaper headline.
But, and you hear the groan. You do hear the groan from girls and boys alike. You can hear the sound of, oh no, she's a female
it's
comic.
It's going to be a girl like,
but
yeah.
But then I love to go up and do my stuff and they're all laughing and smiling, boys and girls. And then I'm like, I've done my job there now. I've changed a few minds and I've possibly opened a few minds to other funny girls.
Have you done that for women or have you done it for you?
Oh, probably for myself. Sure, I'm an angel and a princess. Would I be doing it for anyone else?
I'm just kidding there, but yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I mean, that well, your solution to any possibility of being kind of peripheralized, if that's a word, is that you're just being very good at what you're doing. I mean, that's the best, and you're also not getting caught up in, am I being left out of this thing or whatever? Because you're the type of person that's not going to be left out of it anyway.
And
if you feel you want to be in it.
I think it comes back to the thing of offence as well. Like, I know, offence, not offence. Like, I know I've said I've gone to Irish college before, right? In Irish college, you were one of the guys, one of the girls, everyone thrown in together, desperate comments all over the place, crack, right? Nothing sinister whatsoever. I was brought up with that notion of let's have the crack. Mm. And I think that's why it is quite difficult to offend me.
And I think often by not allowing people to say certain things, you're making it more of an issue than if people were allowed to freely say things.
Mm. Yes.
I think that's a massive problem.
I think as well, just to reiterate that we are being so, like, just that we're clear, that we're not in any way against any of the very worthy liberal causes. We're actually talking about, like, there was a racist attack during the week there. I actually couldn't watch the video.
I didn't watch it.
Really?
I couldn't watch it.
The taxi driver.
Yeah. And I've been listening to it all week on the radio and I was kind of thinking, I can't think of anyone that thinks that's nice. I'm ashamed that it happened in Ireland. It's horrific, whatever. I'm kind of more talking about, as we all are, like, there was a recent, just as you were talking about the women saying, there was a recent thing with Joe Biden where he was attempted at a political assassination, basically, where, you know, the way he's got this kind of old man type thing going
putting
on
his
with
hands up
arm
the
around
shoulder,
the shoulder.
Yeah.
And then almost collectively, there seemed to be one morning where we all went, ah, look, we can't get him on it. We've got loads of women kind of saying, yeah, he would be partial right to an old arm around the shoulder. You're kind of going, why is this even going on? Why are we kind of scrolling through? Why are you going through past things that have offended you? Do you know what I mean?
Like it's is your grandmother or grandfather a racist because of the way they spoke?
This is the thing.
60
like,
years ago.
My father didn't have a bad bone in his body. Like, you know, he was like a beautiful man. I definitely heard him say things, though, that if they were said now, he would be pulled away into a van, you know?
Yeah.
But like he's the kind of person then that would have an encounter with somebody from a different ethnicity, whatever, and would be the warmest man they ever met.
Yeah.
And probably set up something in their gaff for them. But his language wouldn't be woke. So he'd be gone into a paddy wagon.
So
I don't think you can call them paddy wagons anymore.
That's offensive, Tig. So do we think that things have gone a little bit too far in that direction?
I think Tig's right that it's coming back. It's
okay.
Coming back.
Like comedy, you can feel it.
You know, as cahoots, okay, the three of us are cahoots, right? You know that we have a list of sketches that we'd love to do, but we can't do because of political correctness. I reckon within the next 3 years, we'll get to do at least
but
two of them.
I'll speak for myself here. We've already already done one or two that I thought could possibly
be controversial.
Be controversial, and people are just like, give me more.
Disappointingly
not controversial.
And is that
because people understand where we're coming from, where they know it's like, we're not having a go at anyone here.
I also think, sorry Laura, I also think people are seeing through the kind of artificial wokeness now. People are really...
Can I stop you there? Did you use the term woke a second ago?
Well, that's a thing.
And now you're saying, no, it's, excuse me, it's not a thing.
Woke is a huge thing.
To be woke?
Not for me.
Oh, damn. Well, then you're not woke, lovey. You're asleep.
Woke is as old as you, buddy.
Can I get a grammatical explanation, please?
So, no.
Woke is a description of somebody...
Of someone's fam.
So, no, woke is a huge thing, though. Woke is like somebody has gone through a kind of an epiphany of realizations about liberal agendas and now they're woke.
Bollocks.
But it's real.
Enlightened.
It's real life.
Give me a better word. Woke is... Woke. I'm not...
And
I don't accept it.
And wokeness is even a more...
No, it's not a word.
Ubiquitous word.
Wokeness.
Look it up.
Terry Wogan would be rolling in his grave.
Terry, you can't say that. That's not politically correct. Can I just say that even calling this podcast anything to do with political correctness, I think has made us, even though we're actually managing to tread over political correctness, I still feel like I'm being very careful. I feel like when I'm talking, I'm kind of twisting my hands and my gut of it.
I feel you're speaking your truth, though. I think all of us
it's
are speaking
truth, but
our
it's kind
truth.
Of been it's been spoken through a bit of a, is it okay to
but,
say
but
this?
But Laura, this is exactly what we're talking about. Because we're now speaking into microphones, into a medium that's going to be broadcast to people, we're like, I need to be careful with what I say, which there's no problem with that.
Yeah. Because I want to be on Dancing with the Stars, like such a
I need
to just be the right wing one.
I need to make sure that I'm not offending anyone.
Yeah.
Would it be fair to say that that...
I don't want to be on the Elaine show. I've made...
I just as well, but
Trini and Susanna.
Oh, I would love to be on an episode of Trini.
I don't think...
Are they still going?
Nah.
No.
Like,
both of them.
I don't think how any of them could... I don't think how anyone could think that we would want to cause offence.
I can't think of why anyone would say that both Trini and Susanna are dead.
One of them is actually after making a bit of a comeback.
Oh.
Yeah, I want to say Susanna. But I don't think, like,
go
I
on,
don't,
custard
in,
calves.
In my daily life, I don't go about...
That is offensive.
Because my calves are made from pure sugar. Like, I don't want people... Like, I don't want to offend anyone. It's like when me and Shane fight at home, right? And I'm like, you said this because you think this about me and
so
you
Shane,
think this about me.
Shane
and
stirs then Shane, the stew.
Shane goes, under no circumstances am I trying to level anything against you. We're just having a fight. You know, like, I don't think... I would never intentionally cause offence. However, I don't want to go to my grave and have been known as harmless.
Oh, but can I say something about you, though? For somebody who doesn't want to offend somebody, you're always very honest. And I, no,
but it's
but
not
I,
offensive,
no,
though.
But I think it's very... No, but what I'm saying is, like, if you were really conscious about offending people, you'd be, like, scrutinising what you're saying all the time. I don't feel that you're like that. Like, you're giving it socks all the
can
time.
We not, can
in
we
a good
not,
way, though. I think that's great, though.
Can we not distinguish somebody telling the truth as they see it versus... This person is using these words in order to attack me and make me feel terrible.
True, true. Like, there's a bit of a lazy phrase about Peter Casey at the moment that he tells it like it is, which you basically just got this drunk uncle, like,
well, that's
banging on
say,
about.
That's what they say about Trump.
Yeah,
as well.
So he tells
he just
it like
tells
it, is.
It like it is.
And it's the people that are saying that about him that you have to watch. They're the ones now that are trolling through Twitter, trying to find things on which they can kind of hang people.
Can I jump in?
Oh, please.
No, sorry, you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm not as optimistic as you guys are that it's on the way back now.
Shocker, Tom.
I fear
history's cyclical, buddy.
I know, but I think, like, I think this is a one-way street at the moment.
We've had wokeness before.
I would ask you to stop using that term.
Why does that bug you so much?
When did this become a word?
About 3 years ago,
I think. If I look up the Oxford English Dictionary, am I going to find wokeness?
100%.
Do it now on your phone.
Wokeness.
Look it up. 100%. I'm looking it up.
Oh my Christ.
Talk amongst yourselves.
They add ridiculous words every edition, buddy.
Well, then I'm going to stop reading it.
The Oxford English Dictionary.
Can I
goodbye, bedtime book.
I'll jump in with something just as you were paused there, right? The Slovenian philosopher Slavoj Žižek. I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan.
I think it's Slavoj.
It's Slavoj, actually, yeah.
And it's
I'm a huge fan. And it's
Žižek.
Žižek. he has got a brilliant thing on the idea of kind of race and stuff. I don't know, did I say this to you before, Dom? But Laura, stop looking things up now.
I'm looking
to
up
you,
about woke.
I've got a quote there from...
Oh, Urban Dictionary. To be totally woke, fam.
Sorry, no, lovey. Woke is a political term of African-American origin that refers to a perceived awareness of issues concerning social justice and racial justice. It derived from the African-American vernacular English expression, stay woke.
If it's not the Queen's English, I don't want to hear it.
Hear it, F the Queen and the UDA, oh my God.
Oh,
no,
Christ.
was that politically
back
correct?
Back to Slavoj Žižek.
One lovely.
Sorry, just a quick point on that boy there, and Dom will give it a proper Slovenian pronunciation, but he just has an absolutely fabulous point on exactly what we're talking about, of the kind of context of the race aspect of political correctness. So, very quick example. He's at a conference. There's a Native American gentleman stands up and makes a point, whatever, and he describes himself as being from an Indian descent. and a kind of a well-meaning liberal woman gets up and says,
"You can't say that.
You can't say that. You're a Native American."
Oh my God!
I can call myself whatever I like.
And he goes, "Oh, am I? What are you then, a cultural American? I actually find Native American an infinitely more racist term than Indian."
He should
Indian.
Have thrown his tomahawk.
I prefer the term Indian.
That?
He says,
"Oh my God!"
I prefer the term Indian. He says because it reminds me of the stupidity of white people because they thought it was India when they discovered it, or whatever. Which I thought was just brilliant. It just and he also
surely that's
it
up, equally yeah. offensive.
He got yeah, true. He also goes on to say that there was a couple of black guys at a book signing of his, and
ooh, you can't say that.
He says to the black
can't
guys,
say book signing.
They're called
something along
book
the lines
launch.
Of like he just has a bit of banter with them, like in a kind of a playful racial jibe like and yeah. then they have a playful racial he says like it happens with all his like Yugoslav buddies and Croat buddies, they mock each other's cultures or whatever. So he was just giving an example of within the context of him and his own experiences who is another person to come along then, especially when they're white
yeah.
and say that never should have happened there. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like
that's a perfect illustration of what it's all about. It's about control.
Yeah,
it's about
yeah.
I want to be able to control what this person says.
Yes,
because it gives me an empowerment.
And it's also about my little old voice is weak, so I need something to make my voice powerful. So I'm going to have a big, loud voice disparaging other people.
No, you can't say that to a woman.
Mm. Oh, sugar hashtag.
I'm going to shout
hashtag
fascist.
Sugar.
I'm going to shout fascist as this
fascist,
person.
I think it is
as loud. I believe it's
called
Slavoj Žižek.
Fascia and Sofits.
Oh my goodness gracious, Tig.